Shavatrita Dasavita Rupa Jaya. जगदीश हरे, जय जगदीश हरे, जय जगदीश हरे, जय जगदीश हरे, जय जगदीश हरे। Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Vasudevaya.
please come near. Also with the chairs, you can come more near. Welcome to the Avatar Club. Avatar Katha Club. Seventh day. So, 1 week. We have already. So we can commune another week. Because we can, because we cannot make the whole. We're only number 10 today. Of 25. Of 24. But many already mentioned a little the being of Krishna Balaram. What else? And Lord Chaitanya. Anyway, it's not in this jhana hidden. Krishna Balaram, their avatari, their origin. So they are actually, in one sense, not counted as avatars. But today we have a very interesting subject. Because it goes about Lord Vishnu's interest to save and to manifest Vedic literatures in the universe. Because the Vedas are not just made 5,000 years ago. The Vedas are eternal. They're apavushaya, they're not man-made. Therefore they're called Aparaushaya. Purusha means person, man. Aparaushaya means they're not written or manifested by ordinary person. They come from the Lord Himself. That's stated, therefore, Veda, Narayana, Sakshat. Sakshat means direct. Veda means knowledge. Veda, Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Vedas are manifested directly by the Supreme Lord. That means they're eternal. They're not different from the Lord. Originally they were not written in book form. Because books are for foolish people. I'm very intelligent, very learned because I have many books at home, but actually it shows that you're a great fool. Because you cannot remember anything. You don't have anything in yourself, so you need a library. Or we have it in the computer nowadays, or in the mobile phone, smartphone. We call it a smartphone, but actually it's very foolish. Remember anything on his own. They always have to find it, you know, with our consciousness. Many times when we need it, they don't find. If a book is still better than the electronic. But originally the Vedas are sound vibration. They're hymns. Therefore another name of Vedic literature is Shabda Brahman. Shabda Brahman. The transcendental sound vibration is delivered through Shabda. Shabda means sound. And it's very interesting, the first element that actually manifests or causes the material universe to manifest is Shabda, is sound. And therefore it is the same. It's the same Vedic aphorism. Everything is coming from sound. The coming to this material world is created by sound. So therefore, if we are turning the sound, using the sound to hear about the Lord, transcendental sound vibration, the sound will deliver you, will liberate you. Sound can drag you down, sound can liberate you. So originally the Vedas were manifested from the very beginning of the universe because the Vedas are like, the material universe is like a machine. So whenever you buy a machine, an electronical machine, you have to, or a car or a computer, the factory or the company who is producing this machine gives you a manual. So that you can read it. Most people don't read it, the manual, because they think, anyway, I know it already. Then if the problem comes, you know, well, I just call the mechanic or the electronic. Can you help me? Problem. So, but actually, we can actually do it, follow this manual, so that we don't will get in trouble. So that's the meaning of Veda. Veda gives us knowledge, material, spiritual, esoteric, metaphysical. Everything is there in Veda. Besides Veda, there's no real knowledge that is beneficial for the people. Therefore, the Lord is very concerned to give the people who are in this world this knowledge, the Vedas. Veda is like the mother. And if you want to know who is the father, your father, then you have to consult and ask the mother Veda. She will tell you. Supreme Lord Krishna or Narayana is the father. He is the Purusha. And the Vedas are revealed first to Brahma, first created living being in this material. Adi Kavaye Uyanti Yatsuraya. He's invited, it's manifested within his heart. Brahma is the creator of the universe, he's an engineer. He cannot produce the material elements himself. So he only gets all the instruments, everything is there. And you only have to figure out with his good intelligence how to manifest this material universe for the benefit of the living entities who will in the future become embodied in 8,400,000 species of life, prototypes of species of life. So, Brahma, when he therefore manifested also the knowledge through his four mouths. So therefore the different Vedic hymns emanated from his different mouths. One time he fell sleepy. And we also feel sometimes sleepy during Bhagavatam class or during reading. Huh? It happened to you sometimes that you feel asleep? And then out of your hand. Even, it happened. So, to whom happens that the book fell out of hand? It happened to me. So we can don't have a complex to say yes or no. It's not a shame. It's, even Brahma, it happens. Brahma, it happened, you know, one time he fell asleep during creation. And what happened? The Vedas dropped out of his mouth. Not to the proper place. And there were two demons at that time. Two demons were just stated, you know, that the Vedas are dropping out of control of Brahma, out of his mouth, so that they can use it for our purpose. You should not think the Vedas are only interesting for demigods or for saintly persons. The Vedas are also very useful for the materialists, for the demons. Because, but then, of course, misinterpret and misuse it for their own purpose, for their own powers. It's well known in history that many world leaders who wanted to take over the world actually sent people to India to study Vedas. You heard about that? Paula? No? I'm the only one who heard about that? Yeah, for example. But many others also. He's only one of them. Hat ihm jeder Satz in keinen wrong way? No, a little changed on the side. Not in an auspicious way. Rudolf Steiner, anyway, it was. We don't take names now. But they had interest, they showed interest. So sometimes materialists, they show interest in Vedas. And there were also two Adi demons, Asuras, at that time. Madhu and Kaitava. Madhu and Kaitava, they are the two demons. And they immediately took over these Vedic sounds, vibrations, and they wanted to use it for themselves. But that, of course, is not permitted to the demons. They cannot occupy the Vedas just for themselves. Then the Lord will interfere. And because Brahma, he was helpless, the Lord himself appeared. And in which form he appeared? Half horse, half man. Higher Griva. Higher Shirsha. So yeah, that's the next incarnation described here by Lord Rama. The higher grief. Higher grief. Avatar. He's the 10th avatar in that list. The Lord appeared as Hayagriva incarnation with horse head. In a sacrifice performed by me, Brahma, he is the personified sacrifice himself, it means Vedic sacrifice, yajna, and the hue, it means the effulgence of his body, is golden. He is the personified Vedas as well, and the supersoul of all demigods. When he breathed, that means exhaled, like a horse, you know, through the nose, all the sweet sounds of the Vedic hymns emanated from his nostrils, manifesting from the sacrificial fire. The Lord of the goddess of speech, Saraswati, killed the demons Madhu and Kaitava, and brought back the Vedas. That's from Lahu Bhagavatamrita by Rupa Goswami. 250. Bhadrashva, that's one saintly person, worships Lord Hayashirsha on Bhadrashva Varsha. That means one of the seven Varshas in Jambudvip. And this is described in the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 18th chapter. The prayers of the people in Jambudvip. That's a picture of Hayashirsha. Here I have a picture. Those who don't see nicely, come on here. Here is Brahma praying for me. Get back, receive back the Vedas. Another picture. And took them down to the planet of Rasatala. The Supreme Lord, however, in his form of Hayagriva, saved the Vedas and returned them to Lord Brahma when he begged for them. Offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, whose determination never fails. From 5th canto, 18th chapter, text 6. Although Vedic knowledge is imperishable, within this material world that is sometimes manifest and sometimes not. When the people of this material world become too absorbed in ignorance, the Vedic knowledge disappears. Lord Hayagriv or Lord Matsya, the fish incarnation, however, always protects the Vedic knowledge, and in due course of time it is again distributed through the medium of Lord Brahma. Brahma is the trustworthy representative of the Supreme Lord. That's not good here, the sound. Therefore, and he again asked for the treasure of Vedic knowledge, the Lord fulfilled his desire. Om Namo Bhagavate Dharmayatma Kishodamaya Namaha. We offer our respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all religious principles, who cleanses the heart of the conditioned soul in this material world. May Lord Hayagriva protect me from being an offender by neglecting to offer respectful obeisances to the Supreme Lord. So that's the information, some of the information that I get from Srimad Bhagavatam. So there are two incarnations who are protecting the Vedas, and the Vedas disappear. Who are they? Matsya and Hayagriva. That's right. So now we speak about another personality, because tomorrow is Guru Purnima. Vyasa Purnima. It's tomorrow the day.
Today.
Here.
In this place today.
Oh, really? Somebody spoke this morning about it? Nobody. That's a shame. You should tell him. If it was today, then he would speak. This is actually a very important day. Guru Purnima. In India, in this day, all the gurus are worshipped. That's actually the Vyasa Puja day. But all the general gurus, they worship him, the Dupucha on Vyasa Sound. Even Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda came to Mayapur, meeting Lord Chaitanya first time in this Lila, Gora Lila. Then Lord Chaitanya told, there was a reception of Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya's great ecstasy, Kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya told, next day we have Vyasa Puja, that means Guru Purnima, Vyasa Purnima. Also, the other name is Vyasa Purnima. And a representative of Vyasadeva is worshipped. So, but Vyasadeva is Krishna, therefore he is known as Krishna Dvaipaya Vyasa. There are different Vyasas in different kalpas, in different days of Brahma. But this Vyasa, like there are different Indras. So there are different Vyasa, but we have this Vyasa is very special, like Lord Chaitanya is very special, Krishna is very special in this day of Brahma. After the 27th cycle of the Manvantara, it's a very special time in this universe. And therefore Krishna Dvaipaya Vyasa appeared, who is Narayana himself. It's Krishna himself who comes with an empowered vision. Because the Veda originally is one. Veda is one. But his mission was to divide the Veda in four sections. Sama, Yajur, Atharva and Rig Veda. Because all these mantras, they were in one Veda. But Vyasadeva considered the people in Kali Yuga will be less intelligent. They cannot understand the Vedic hymns, the Vedic mantras. Because they are too subtle, too esoteric, and they have to be learned by teacher, by guru, who is learned in the Vedic scripture, who is realized in the Vedic scriptures, and who can teach these Vedic scriptures according to his own realization from his own heart and mind, pure mind, to the shishya, disciples. Bhakti, you follow? Yeah, hard worker, I know. So Srila Vyasadeva, his mission was to divide these four Vedas, this one Veda into four, with the specific mantras for the specific classes of men, the Svarnas and Dharmas, you know, four Vanas and four Ashramas. And these Vedas are divided accordingly for guiding these Ashramas, especially the higher Ashramas, the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas. And also they teach Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda. Therefore, sometimes we speak about three Vedas. Three Veda. Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, and Upasana Kanda. So the people in Kali Yuga are all Shudras, so they cannot understand Vedas. So he wanted to teach this for the Brahmanas, to divide these four Vedas for the lesser intelligent Brahmanas, so that they can understand and follow yajna, different occupational duties for the benefit of them and the society. So Srila Vyasadeva therefore divided this in the end of the Dwapara Yuga, before the Kali Yuga arrived. And he also wrote down the fifth Veda. The fifth Veda is Mahabharata. Actually, the four Vedas he didn't write down personally. He gave it to four of his main disciples, Shishyas. Who became professors, experts in this particular science. So they were distributing to their disciples in disciplic succession the knowledge of the Vedas. So Vyasadeva himself, he gave more attention than to the Mahabharata, because he wanted to benefit not only the Brahmanas, he wanted to benefit also the Vichabandhus and the women and the Shudras and the Vaishyas, who are less intelligent. Stri Shudra Vichabandhunam. So for benefit, he compiled Vedic literature. He didn't draw that also himself. Appointed secretary. Who was it? Ganesh. But the condition was, you know, that he has to dictate non-stop without interruption. But Vyasadeva, he appeared in a human form of life, human form. So he played like somebody who is conditioned. I also have to take a rest sometimes and eat something. So he figured out how to trick Ganesh, and then he told him, "Okay, Ganesh, but you have to accept my condition. Everything that you write down, you have to understand. And if you don't understand it, then you have to first meditate about it, think about it, how to realize it, then write it out." Therefore, there are sometimes some sections who are a little complicated, not so easily understood by Ganesh even. And that's the time when Srila Vyasadeva takes some rest and Santrasada. So anyway, this book, great book, Mahabharata. Actually, the name of the book is Bharata. Mahabharata became only known later as Maha. Because because the sages, they realized, you know, that from all Vedic literatures, the Bharata is more big. It's Maha. It's larger. Has 100,000 slokas. Bhagavatam has 18,000 slokas. The Mahabharata has 100,000. 5.5 times more. And even in the Bhagavatam, they have difficulty to read the whole in one life. Because we are a little slow, man. Manta, Sumanta, Matayo, Manta, Valdia, Yupapita, a little slow minded. And some that didn't even start. I think, I'm still young, I have still time. But very soon we realize, you know what Radharani says? Youth has only a few moments. I was even an old man, you know, an old sage, who he lived during six yugas and manvantaras. So they ask him, "Oh, what is your realization? Why you are still alive?" So he says, "Your life is so short. Life is so short. I have to use my life, you know, my time, you know, to engage in spiritual activities." You know? Although he actually survived several manvantaras. That's a great Vedic sage. So anyway, the Vedas, the Mahabharata. These scriptures are meant. Bhagavatam later on be compiled on the instruction of Narada Rishi, Narada Muni. Because Vyasadeva was not happy, although he compiled Mahabharata and Vedanta Sutras, and also wrote some major Puranas. And then Narada Muni appeared and he told him, "You're not happy, you're not satisfied because you didn't glorify Krishna enough from these incarnations. You didn't join the Avatar Club. Avatar Katha. That's your problem. Because if you would join the Avatar Katha Club, you know, then you will be always happy. Because it is not, and you didn't glorify Avatar enough from Krishna and his expansions and incarnations, therefore you are suffering. Because any liturgies what is not glorifying Krishna and his avatars, it's a crow liturgy. It's a pilgrimage of crows. I'm saying Serbsky crow? In Russian is Baron. Prana. In Russian, Baron. Almost same. So it's crowd, it's a tirtha, a place for the crowds. But the Vaishnava liturgies like Bhagavatam and Mahabharata, especially Bhagavatam, because it speaks purely about Krishna and about Krishna's avatars, it's a small literature, Hamsa. So it is interesting for the swan like people. And for another name of the Srimad Bhagavatam is Paramahamsa Samhita. Actually, before it became known as Srimad Bhagavatam, it was known as Paramahamsa Samhita. Because it was especially relished by the Paramahamsas. So it became more sweet by the recitation of Shukadeva Goswami, Siddhi Vyasadeva's son, who was empowered to recite the Srimad Bhagavatam. He learned the Srimad Bhagavatam from Vyasadeva. And he teached it later on to Maharaj Parikshit. And so in this way, after that, because Sutta Goswami was present, he spoke the Bhagavatam again, according to his realization, to the sages of Naimisharanya. And then only after that, Sri Vyasadeva was writing it down. He was absorbed in meditation. And in his meditation, he saw the Lord, he saw Maya, he saw the living entities. But he saw the Lord was above the Maya, the Purusha. And only the living entities are under the influence of the shadow Maya, covered by darkness, by ignorance. So out of his compassion he compiled these great Vedic literatures. Now the name of this literature of Prabhupada is called Sattvika Samhita. Sattvika, it is only for the pure-minded persons. Sattvika Samhita. That's the three names of the book. Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Purana, Sattvika Samhita, and Paramahansa Samhita. That's the same book, Bhagavatam. So Sri Vyasadeva, he compiled this Srimad Bhagavatam for his great satisfaction and ultimate for the success of all the victory of the Bhagavad school and the Avatar club, Katha club. So that's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishi Nishrayasaya Lokasya Danyam Svastainam Mahat. That's a sloka from first canto, third chapter, text 40 or 41. It's also interesting to look after it. Idam Bhagavatam Nama. The book named Bhagavat, Idam Bhagavata Nama, Puranam Brahma Samhitam. It is a complete transcendental Purana, pure transcendental Brahma Samhitam. Uttama Shloka, because every word, every sloka is Uttama Shloka. It is elevated poetry, transcendental poetry. Uttama Shloka Charitam describes only the pure stories of Uttama Shloka. And the name of Krishna is Uttama Shloka, because he only can be described by chosen, juicy, nectarian poetry of Vedic literatures, like Srimad Bhagavatam. Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishi. And it was written down or compiled by Bhagavan Rishi. That means by the Lord himself, in the form of a Rishi, a sage, Bhagavan Rishi. And it is made for ultimate victory. Nishrayasaya Lokasya. It is for the ultimate benefit of all lokas. That means all living entities, all species of life, and all spheres in this world. Nishrayasaya, Shreya means ultimate benefit. Nishrayasaya Lokasya Damyam Svastayanam Mahat. And it is all victorious, all glorious. The Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, whenever you recite Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no loss, there is no defeat. You can conquer your everything. Yourself first, your all impurities, and ultimately you can conquer the cycle of birth and death, and even more, you can conquer Krishna, the Supreme Lord. You can conquer him, because he becomes attracted only by bhakti. Bhagavatam states, if one engages with his body, mind and words in transcendental loving service, hearing and chanting about the Lord, never mind in which varna and ashrama you stay. You don't have to change your varna and ashrama, just stay. Stita. Stita means stay wherever you are. And chant the holy name. Preach him a bhagavatam. Engage in devotional service. In this way, the Lord who is unconquerable become conquered. Krishna is achit. He's unconquerable, but he becomes chit. Conquered by bhakti, by loving devotional service. And that is the result. If you regularly read Srimad Bhagavatam, heart becomes purified, and all emotion, transcendental love and affection to Krishna arises. Therefore, the Bhagavatam creates a revolution in the misguided civilization and in our heart. It gives us manifest Krishna. Therefore, Srivyasadeva is described here by Brahma also. As the 23rd incarnation. She came late, so we jump a little over. Thanks. Let us understand, and now we go to 23, because Vyasadeva is related to the books, Vedic literatures. The Lord, in his incarnation as the son of Satyavati, who is known as Satyavati Sutta, Vyasadeva, will consider his compilation of the Vedic literature to be very difficult for the less intelligent persons with short life. And thus, he will divide the tree of Vedic knowledge, the Riksha, the tree of Vedic knowledge, into different branches according to the circumstances of the particular age. The Lord, seeing that the ocean of the Vedas composed by himself will be difficult to cross by people whose lives are short and whose intelligence has been limited by time, will appear in every kalpa as the son of Satyavati and divide the tree of the Vedas into branches, the one Veda into four branches and sub-branches. Vyasadeva is mentioned in the first canto, third chapter, in the list of incarnation. Thereafter, in the 17th incarnation of Godhead, Sri Vyasadeva appeared in the womb of Satyavati. Parashara Muni, his father, great Vedic sage, who actually is the teacher of the Vishnu Purana, and he divided the one Veda into several branches and sub-branches, seeing that the people in general were less intelligent. This is the Vyasa whom Sri Krishna mentioned in the words, amongst the Vyasas and Vaikayana. Thus, his uniqueness is described in the Vishnu Purana and all the scriptures. Vaipayani got his title because he was born on an island, Dvipa, Vaipayana. Vaipayana can also mean that he divided the one Veda into four. Because Parashara Muni, he felt attracted to Satyavati. He was a fisherman's girl, daughter, Satyavati. She even had the smell of fish, because she always lived near the water. You know? Somebody who lives near the sea always smells of the fish, somehow or other. The Adria side, you know. Everyone smells of the fish. Because they live on the seaside. So she also had this ugly fish smell. Some of them think it's cool. But for the sage, we need a ferry across the river. But there was no ferryman by chance. So the Satyavati, Satyavati, the daughter of the fishman, she became the ferry girl, bringing the sage over to the island. But then there was a problem, you know, the sage very attracted to the girl. We saw that she was qualified. But the girl was very shy and thought, oh, we're not married. I cannot have such a relationship. If I will go to the village and my father will see it, and my mother, then they will reject me. Sage said, no problem. He's a mystic. So he arranged another folk. Nobody could see. And he arranged another pregnant. pregnant without losing her virginity. That was the power, yes. Later on, Satyavati, she gave birth to Sivyasati, the first son of Satyavati. And Parashara Muni. Later on, she married with father of Bhishma Dev. What is his name? Shantanu. Shantanu, right? And with Shantanu, she became married with Shantanu. And Satyavati, she became the mother of Vyasadeva. And there was one time, a time, so Vyasadeva, he had to have a call because there was a need of offspring. Children had to be manifested of the Kuru dynasty, because he was a descendant of the Kuru dynasty. That's mentioned in the Mahabharata, and then Satyavati called Srinivasadeva, because there were three girls, both their husband died prematurely, King Vichitravira, he died. He was a little lusty fellow, so he got some disease that he died early. Those who have a lot of sex, they have not long life endurance. So he died early. So what happened is they had no children. And there were these three girls, princesses. Amba, Ambika, and Ambalika. So the sage was called because Vichitravira was his brother. So what to do? So, but the sage just came from ashram, ascetic, bad smell, you know. So we asked them, say, let me first prepare a little that I would look, you know, like a gentleman, like a lover. But Satyavati said, no, don't wait, we should not wait, immediately do it. But then the princesses, you know, they became so much, actually one immediately looked. She said, no way, I go. So she left, she ran away. And, And then there were only two left. Oh, no, three. No. That's another story when she left. So the three. So the first one, she became so pale when she saw the sage. She lost all the color. She was completely brown and red. But she became white, you know, like Sita, completely white, complexion. She lost all color in her face, because she was so much in shock. So when they ask, you know, what will happen, what kind of child will appear, so he says, yeah, we will be born pale, Pandu the name, therefore the Pandavas appeared then, father is Pandu. Then the second one, actually the third one left. She didn't even want to do, have anything to do. Because she had already somebody whom she wanted to love. And then he went to other one. And this one, she became so... too close to her eyes, right? And therefore the child became blind, Dhritarashtra. And the third one, the third one actually refused. But then he thought, okay, approach the first one again. But the first one had enough already. So she told, you can have it with my servant, Dasi. This Dasi was actually very nice, very surrendered to the sage, Sharanagati fully. and therefore she got the blessing, your child will be very religious person, very virtuous person, very in purity. pure soul. So Vidura, Vidura is kind of this very manifest. And suddenly this very whole dynasty is appeared from this, the Kuru dynasty, from the Pandavas and etc. So and the origin of the father of them was actually Siddhyasadeva. But that is not so much important in its only serial dissolution of, expansion of living entities. But he actually wanted to create devotees. And that he did through the Srimad Bhagavatam and through the disciplic succession. So therefore he had many disciples and wrote down these Vedic literatures. Therefore it's described that in this day Vyasadeva is worshipped. Lord Chaitanya also told to Lord Chaitanya, today is Vyasa Puja. And so Nityananda, can you make this worship? Nityananda got a flower garland and Srivastava should arrange everything for the worship. Vyasa-san, garland, paraphernalia for worship, puja. Nityananda was hesitating. He had held the garland in the hand and he was looking around. But then Shivastapur, we went to Lord Chaitanya and asked, what should I do? Shripad Nityananda is not offering the garland to Siddhi Vyasadeva. And Lord Chaitanya himself went and asked Nityananda to proceed with the process, with the puja, otherwise we are a little late, because it has to be in the morning until noon to finish Vyasa puja. It's the auspicious time. It should not be at midday or in the evening. It's not auspicious. Vyasa puja is in the morning. It should start in the morning and be finished at noon. Because it's only half a day fast. It's not Vishnu Tattva. It's a half a day fast. And so see that Lord Chaitanya came and asked, can you do the puja? And then Nityananda, he gave the garland offered to Lord Chaitanya. And then they offered again towards each other the Vyasa puja offering. Everyone glorified each other. Speaking about the glories. Actually, on the Vyasa Puja day, one should glorify the Guru. We should not speak about his own self and his opinion and making politics or speaking about your projects, what you achieved, everything. That's false ego. Disciples should be forgetting self and only glorify the Guru that time. See the good qualities, what he actually did, how he actually became benefited by him. It's an appreciation, showing of thankfulness. So therefore this Vyasa Puja is very important, because the spiritual master can see in this day how much actually the disciple is advancing, what he actually realized. And he can also see what he didn't realize. Or who hesitates to glorify and to give respect to the Guru, to the representative of Siddhi Vyasadeva. So this is a very important function. It happens since thousands of years. This Guru Purnima, this Guru Puja, or Vyasa Puja, Vyasadeva Puja, is performed. So therefore the seat where the representative of Vyasadeva is sitting is called Vyasa-san. Vyasa-asana. So it means that's the place where the representative of Vyasa is sitting. And the speaker who represents Vyasadeva or Bhagavatam, he always should understand it is not me who I'm speaking. And it's not me who have to explain something according to my understanding. I just have to become a medium to represent that what Siddhi Vyasadeva says. What the Parampara says. we are only dasa, dasa, anudasa. We are not direct dasas. We are not direct servants. We are servants of the servants of the servants of the Guru Parampara coming from Sri Vyasadeva. That's all what we have to do. We only have to be chased at the Parampara. And if we are not chased at Parampara, we cannot become a Parampara member or representative. Then it's only pseudo devotee. Not actually a real devotee. A devotee is chased to the Parampara, to the cyclic succession, and is only delivering the message as he receives it, like a postman. So in Gaudiya Vaishnava, we are not worshipping Guru on the day of Guru Purnima. That's the general Hindus, they worship the Guru, Sadguru, all different sampradayas, different branches of the Hindu society, they worship their Guru on that day. But in our sampradaya, Gaudiya Vaishnava, especially in the line of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he introduced that the Guru should be worshipped on his birthday. So therefore, we have two kinds of Guru Puja, the Vyasadeva Puja on the day of Guru Purnima and the Puja of Guru on the day of Vyasa Puja. According to the birthday. So here it is stated, although a different sage assumes the role of Vyasa at the end of each Dvapara Yuga, Krishna Dvaitayam Vyasa is unique among them because he is directly an incarnation of the personality of Godhead. Krishna Dvaitayam Vyasam Vidhi Narayanam Swayam. Know that Krishna Dvaipayam Vyasa is Lord Narayana himself. Who else but the lotus-eyed Supreme Lord could be the author of the Mahabharata? It's from the Vishnu Purana and from Mahabharata Shanti Purana. The first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam relates how Dvaipayam Vyasa received from Narada the instruction to compile the Bhagavatam. Chapter 4 and 5, this is narrated in the first canto, and how Vyasa meditated on the subject of the Bhagavatam, Sri Krishna and his energies, and the Jivas, is described in the 7th chapter of the first canto. Today is also a disappearance day of the great member of this sampradaya of Sri Vyasadeva, coming from Vyasadeva, Gaudiya Vaishnava, Sanatana Goswami. Tirabhav means disappearance day. Actually, Sanatana Goswami, he spent the last years of his life at Govardhan site. There's one lake at the side of the Govardhan in nowadays Navadvip town. It's called Manasaganga. There's a Shiva temple. It's called Chakaleshwara. Ananta Goswami is Pachan Kutia and Vaitak, sitting place where he seated and chanted Mana Mantra. Is next to Chakaleshwara Mahadev Mandir temple. There's a saying that at that time, because it's very near to the water, there was a lot of mosquitoes. Mosquitoes are not very favorable for bhajan, for meditation. You always feel disturbed. Sanatana Goswami, he wanted to leave that place. He thought, this is too much mosquitoes. There was no mosquito spray at that time. Or an electronical, mosquito apparatus. And no mosquito nets. So he wanted to leave that place, to go to a place where there less mosquitoes. Mosquitoes anywhere unavoidable, but too much is not good. But Shiva didn't want that Sanatana leaves. So he came in disguise of a sadhu, of an old elderly sadhu, and requested him, please don't leave. Stay here. I will guarantee you and bless you that there will be no mosquitoes. Therefore, since that time, there's no mosquitoes anymore in that place. Would disturb Sanatana Swami. So he had this Bhajan Kutir there. Actually, Sanatana Goswami, he was sent to Vrindavan with Rupa Goswami together to find out two hidden deities. Since Lord Krishna's time, there were several deities, about 14 deities were installed by the great-grandson of Krishna. But they all became lost. They were all hidden somewhere, some bushes underneath the earth, like that. And one of the deities, Madan Gopal, actually, original name, Madan Gopal. And the other Dev, Rupa Goswami, we found Govinda Dev. And Sanatana Goswami, he established the installation and the worship of Adam Mohan. Actually, the original finder of the Madan Gopal is Advaita Acharya. Because Advaita Acharya also came to Vrindavan. And he actually found this Madan Gopal underneath Vata tree. Vata tree means banyan tree. That dream, Madan Mohan appeared in his dream and told him, please come and take me out from this cave underneath this banyan tree. And for that place is called Advaitavat. It's near Madan Mohan temple underneath there is, because the temple is built on a hill. That hill is called Vadashaditya Tila. Because when Krishna was dancing on Kaliya, so he got very wet, you know, so that he will not get a cold, the 12 devas appeared, and like suns, you know, to warm his body. So that's placed, and that's at that place, Vadashaditya Tila. Tila means hill. And underneath that hill, on the bank of the Yamuna, there is the Advaitavat, where Advaita Acharya for some time worshipped that deity. But then, because he had to go back to Mayapur, because the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya would come soon, so he gave this deity to a Brahmana from Mathura. Actually, a Mathura Brahmana who lived in Gokula, Mahava, a Chauved. His name was Chaturvedi. And that means a scholar, a teacher of the four Vedas, Chaturveda. It's a Brahminical name, Chaturvedi, Trivedi, Chaturvedi. And this is Mathura Brahmana. And he lived in Gokula, Mahava. Krishna's birthplace. One time when Sanatana Goswami was a Madhukari, that means begging from house to house, asking, and they always get some chapati or roti or like that, some rice, some sabji, some chikki. So Sadhu was never refused, especially in Vrindavan. Everyone gets, nobody is hungry in Vrindavan. There's no starvation in Vrindavan. This you have to understand. In Vrindavan, everyone gets enough food. Radharani taking care. And the householders are taking care. because that's their culture. Sanatana Goswami went house to house, but then he saw there were a few boys playing with each other. One was looking very attractive, like a cupid. So he followed him in the house, and then he saw it. He was a, where is he? He saw a deity, Krishna. And I saw him outside, now he's here, deity. So he found out, this is the same Bhagavan Gopal, he was playing with his friends. And this Brahmana family had one son. And they adopted practically Madan Gopal like the son. They had an elderly relationship, Vatsalya Ras, with him as a boy. So Sanatana Goswami first he chastised them by your, neglecting this Madan Gopal and only play with him like that. Not taking properly care. So they became a little scared first, but then they say, when the wife told, you know, but this is our relationship, because we see him as our son. So later on, finished. So Sanatana Goswami, although it happened like that, Sanatana Goswami, Krishna decided to join Sanatana Goswami. But Sanatana Goswami kept him on a tree. Because he had no temple. Only later on a temple was built and the standard was established. Not to Sanatana Goswami's time, because Sanatana Goswami was mostly only interested in writing books and in meditation about Lila. Lila Smaranam, completely absorbing in Lilas about Krishna and writing these in his books. He wrote one important book, Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Krishna Lila Stava. It's a story about half of Krishna book. In poetry form, he made commentary to Srimad Bhagavatam, and he also compiled Hari Bhakti Vilas. So later on, when he was old, he went around Govardhan every day, not a small parikrama, 22 kilometers, 40 kilometers. A big one. There's two ways how we can make parikrama. The shorter one, 22, and the big one, 40. And he did every day the 40 kilometer parikrama, even in his old age. But even when he was almost invalid, he tried. One time Krishna appeared to him in form of a cowherd boy and he gave him a Govardhan Shiva. And he told him, Prabhu, don't make so much endeavor anymore in your old age to go around the hill here. Worship this Shiva and circumambulating four times and that's equal. Sanatana Goswami, he realized later on that this boy was Krishna himself. So anyway, he accepted that Shila is now worshipped in other Damodar. There are different opinions. But anyway, don't want to go on controversy. But anyway, this Govardhan Shila, who is claimed that he is worshipped by Sanatana Goswami, is now in other Damodar. That's how the general opinion. And Sanatana Goswami, he passed away on the Purnima. On this day, tomorrow, Guru Purnima, enjoyed the Lord's eternal pastimes in Goloka. So he's Beach Manjari, is in Lila? Lavanga Manjari. So sorry, I have to stop. short notice because I heard there was no speaker after me. So therefore I made it a little, tried to make it a little longer today, but I felt so. Okay, clear? Any questions? Any question or? Yeah, yeah. Comments? Okay, se vi piace di Kichai, se ne sono altre persone, bravo, Kichai, di Dai Corp Premanandi, Ariadne.